Well, good morning. I had a wonderful time last week at my conflict management intensive course, 3 days of learning about conflict and how to manage it well. And on the day three, they asked us to make a plan that would take back to our parishes and implement a conflict management plan. And I thought I'd just preach on the Beatitudes about being meek, because that's really going to help us out. No, not really. What they said was conflict is inevitable in churches, in church systems. We're always going to have conflict. It's just part of church life, community life, family life, relationships. And they're always complex, but never personal. No conflict ever starts out as personal. We make it personal, but usually a conflict starts out over an issue. And it's when we start attacking each other over the issue that it becomes personal. So we've got to remember that. If there's conflict, we acknowledge it, we treat it as something complex, because it is, and we treat it as an issue, not personal. Because when it gets personal, that's when we can get a bit nasty and angry and frustrated and want to fight back, which is exactly the opposite of meekness, which is what we're talking about today in that third beatitude. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. It's very complex about this idea of meekness. When we hear about the word meek, I think most people think weak, like no backbone, like a doormat of a Christian. And I think a lot of people think Christians just have to be nice, even though they feel horrible and nasty and bitter inside about whatever's going on, but just lay down and not say anything. But this word meek is not about weakness. It's not about just being a weak person and laying down and letting people trample all over us. It's actually being who Christ has called us to be as his disciples. And it goes in procession with the others. First, we acknowledge that we are poor in spirit. We have nothing to save ourselves. We are poverty in spirit before God. And so he can fill us with the kingdom of God. He gives us the kingdom of God. It's ours when we come to him in our poverty. And once we are in the kingdom of God, we realize all about our sinfulness and the sinfulness of the world, and we mourn and grieve over such things, and we are comforted by God himself. And the next vocation, calling of a disciple of Jesus, he's telling these to his disciples, the next step is to be meek. If we are in this place, we'll be meek, knowing that we have all our inheritance that God gives us in the kingdom of God. Everything he has is ours. But we don't stand up for our rights and privileges and fight for them like the world does, as they strive around for success and seek to get ahead in business and dominate and take over. Jesus is saying, this is not the way of people of my kingdom. My kingdom's people have all that power, have everything at their fingertips, but keep it under control. The word meek in the Greek is praus. And I've always said, if you're reading the Bible in English, you are like watching black and white TV. If you read the Bible in the Greek, the original language, it comes to life. It's like colour TV. Everything takes on more meaning and depth, and you can just see it all with just so much more vibrancy, because the Greek word is expressive. There is no single English word to translate that word meek. Some try with gentleness, it's, you know, humility is part of it. But no one word can capture the essence, which the Greek really should be translated power under control, or the right balance between power and indifference. John just told me before that it's like having a sword, but you don't use it. You've got all the power, but you lay down your right to fight back. So meekness is what Jesus demonstrated when everyone was attacking him, and he just let it just wash over him, let it wash away through to the keeper. When they tried to push him off a cliff, he just walked through the crowd and walked away. You know, he had all the power of God and went around helping people, but when everyone wanted to attack him and hurt him, when he was on that mock fake trial, which wasn't even real, brutally beaten, treated like absolute trash, he didn't fight back, he didn't stand up for his privileges or his rights. He was meek. I can't think of any other example than Jesus himself. Now, that is something to aspire to, Christ-likeness, to emulate his meekness, his power under control. But I just want us all to remember, as we seek to become more meek, because it's what Jesus wants us to do. And he actually makes it look attractive. If you spend enough time in this passage, no one ever thinks, oh, I want to be meek. That's sort of like a word no one wants to aspire to. But Jesus says, when you are meek, you inherit the whole earth. What does that mean? Not try and take over the whole earth like worldly people do, trying to dominate and take more ground. But the whole earth belongs to God, and everything that he has belongs to us as we submit and surrender to him. Like a wild stallion being tamed and trained, we submit to God, we live out his ways, and his kingdom is ours. Everything belongs to us through him. So meekness is something to be emulated and desired. I'm sure you're probably all better at being meek than me. I'm still practicing a lot. God gives me lots of tests and trials of, you know, people who just say the wrong thing and ruffle my feathers or do the wrong thing. Last night I was just telling Ross that I was leaving a concert like quite late at night with my daughter, and getting out of the car park with 20,000 other people was very frustrating to say the least, and people were doing stupid things, and I did let some things come out my mouth that shouldn't have, and I just thought, meekness, this is an ongoing lesson for us all, I am sure. So let's keep trying to do that, especially if any conflict arises in the church. I think that's a great way to manage our conflict. Let's be meek. Doesn't mean you deny what's going on. It means just you lay down your rights and your privileges, and you don't have to fight back or retaliate. We can be peacekeepers here in this way. So moving on to the next beatitude. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be fulfilled or satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled or satisfied. You know, we don't really know what it's like to be hungry. Just on that conference last week, we had breakfast, morning tea, lunch, afternoon tea, and dinner and supper, and they were big. Eric, like, it just, we don't know what it's like to be hungry or really thirsty in this country. But Jesus was talking to people who really knew what it was like to hunger and thirst and to really want something with all their heart, with all their passion. And I just want us to remember at a time in our lives when maybe we sought after God with such passion, such hunger and thirst. I remember when I first became a Christian, I just wanted to spend more and more time reading God's word. I just want to be in the word and praying. And even when friends asked me to go go-karting, I said, no, I just actually really want to stay home and read the Bible, because what I'm reading is so exciting and it's fulfilling. It's just really meaningful for me, and I don't want to waste my time just riding a car around a track, as fun as that is. It's a different way of living, isn't it? That hunger and that thirst for more of God. And I hope that we'll all get that passion back, that hunger and thirst for the righteousness of God, for the kingdom of God, for all that God has for us in his word and through his word. And this righteousness that we're to hunger and thirst for, to seek after, is hard to explain too. These are really hard concepts. But this righteousness is, we can take it from the other references to righteousness in Matthew's passage. So later on, in the last beatitude, he says, blessed are you who are persecuted for righteousness, for yours is the kingdom of God. So righteousness is something that we are to emulate, to live out. It's a lifestyle, as Andrew said. It is something we can be persecuted for. And this same Greek word that Matthew uses five other times in his gospel, and it's not really used much else in the New Testament or anywhere else, is what he uses to describe the Pharisees. So he goes, you appear to have righteousness. You walk around all pious and looking righteous, but your hearts are far from me. You're hypocrites. You're like whitewashed tombs. You're wicked and your hearts are far from me. So that righteousness. And in another passage, he says to his disciples, people following him, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom of God. And what he's saying there is that no one is righteous. No one can enter the kingdom of God in their own righteousness. We all need Christ. And so in summary, I just think that, I've got a little summary, I wrote it down. It's that righteousness is a Christian lifestyle that changes us from the inside out, so that we no longer seek the praise of people, but only seek God's approval. So this righteousness, as the way that Matthew is using it in this context, in this Beatitudes. It's a Christian lifestyle that changes us from the inside out so that we no longer seek the praise of people, but only seek the praise of God. And so we need to hunger and thirst for this way of life, for this lifestyle, this righteousness that he promises. And as we do that, we will be totally satisfied, totally fulfilled, but still wanting more. That thirst never goes away, does it? Even when we have all the righteousness of God, we want more of that because we will never be satisfied fully this side of eternity. But we still need to seek our satisfaction in him. Like Augustine said, our hearts are made for, or we are made for God alone, and our hearts never find true rest or satisfaction until they find their rest in him. And so that's my prayer for us all also, that we will be meek and that we will be righteous, seeking and hungering and thirsting for the righteousness God offers us. And as we do, these promises for you, for me, for us, we shall inherit the earth. All God has is ours. And you'll also be satisfied in your lot in him. May our souls find our true satisfaction in him from this day and forevermore. The Lord be with you.
And also.